And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How are we doing?
Nothing and fine.
Both of those are good.
Yep.
Michelle, how are you?
Good and better than fine.
Oh, that's good.
Great.
Great, right?
That's outstanding. Liked your, what was that? Was that a TikTok you sent out yesterday?
Yes, oh, yeah. Guys, I got on the TikTok game.
My goodness, the TikTok.
Kinda, I'm getting you guys on the TikTok game. It's just only a matter of time.
It may be some time.
Caroline tried to get me to do like a dance routine during the early months of the pandemic, and somehow I escaped. So
it's not too late.
We need to get Caroline Rexroad to do a TikTok with you. Come on, Joe.
I think she's done some herself. But yeah, nah, I don't know, man. If we can involve breakdancing, maybe. But I enjoyed the, you sort of had the little, like you looked at, here's two picks that are correct. Here's the other two picks. You know, that was kind of fancy.
Right, a little video editing in there.
Uh-huh.
Our correct picks would not take that long to do the dance of. Like, here's these two. Here's one more. We'll see.
You went 4-2.
I did.
I went 3-3. So for
still
me,
no lock.
That's yeah. No. Yeah, I know.
Really struggling on the locks.
I'm 2-3, or not 2-3. 2-3, and yeah. You're. Just, I mean, seriously, like if this keeps up, Michelle, you know, we may have a situation.
We might. Look,
I mean, people should probably start acting on your picks, right?
Yeah. I need somebody to. Elijah said he would. I'm like, Elijah, you put the money on it, so I don't jinx myself. We'll split the winnings.
Wow, you know? That still could be jinxing yourself, though. You know,
I know.
Yeah, still, you're still sort of doing it,
right?
Will you split the losses?
No.
Okay. Well,
that doesn't sound like a very win-win situation for Elijah.
Hey, if Elijah's willing to do it, yeah, roll with that. He's not up listening right now. We can rip him all we want.
Exactly. He's sleeping.
You know, I started off 0-6 in Pigskin Pick'em. I'm almost back at 500 pretty early.
I forgot that. So actually, you've been doing quite well.
Yeah. I mean, the first week has just destroyed me.
Yeah. I've been pretty crappy the whole way. Consistent.
Yeah, Rob, you're on a nice incline. You're about to surpass Rex Road.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. See what happens coming up this weekend. Another edition of Pigskin Pick'em coming up on Friday. We'll see if Michelle can go 6-0 for the third time.
Now that would be great.
Did anybody ever go 6-0 once last year?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Maybe Porth? Maybe.
Yeah, possibly, but possibly. I think I may have the records. I could pour over them today during
the show. Do some intense study.
Instead of talking during the show if you'd like.
Well, yeah. We'll see what happens on that front. We got Clark Lee coming up at 7:00. Vanderbilt head coach, the choice is yours at 7:45. Our good friend David Ubbin from The Athletic at 8:30. And then Predators captain Roman Josi joining the show at 9:00. And I can't leave out Adam Vingan at 9:30 because he'd get mad at me if I did.
Yes, he's not listening. Well, he could be listening.
He could be up.
He might be up with Arlo. You never know.
He very well could be.
So we're very excited to have Vingan on.
We are.
The most excited we are is for Vingan.
That's correct. Joe, some interesting news yesterday when it comes to the Tennessee Titans, and quite frankly, some news that I don't think I expected. Ty Sombrilo placed on the reserve retired list yesterday. So Brett Kern moves to the reserve COVID list. Ty Sombrilo going on the reserve retired list. I did not expect to see that one yesterday, and now Sombrilo is out, and that really hurts your tackle depth as well. But I guess I just I don't know exactly what happened, and maybe we'll get more clarity on that as time goes on here. But did not expect to see Ty Sombrilo basically retire from football yesterday.
No, that was a surprise for sure. Didn't get like definitive word on that, you know, that it was injury related, but he, you know, obviously had like the broken foot last year, and then he's been on the injury report with a foot this year. And sometimes, you know, you see, I mean, I think increasingly we see guys in the NFL getting out when the health starts going, you know, down. And of course, in some cases, that's more like concussion related. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I thought Sombrilo had that too at some point, but I could be wrong. I don't want to I don't want to throw that out there off the top of my head. I may be wrong about that, but certainly the foot. And he's been on the injury report, and it's a loss for the Titans. That's a depth loss for sure. I mean, he's the swing tackle now.
Yep.
With Questenberry claiming that that right tackle spot, and you know, he's potentially he's a guy who, I mean, if Questenberry struggled slash kept struggling, you know, he could have possibly gone in there. Now it's Kendall Lamb. We haven't seen really Kendall Lamb. I mean, it's good that they signed him now for the depth, but that takes him down there. And then, of course, you know, Roger Saffold, I think there's some real suggestion out of Vrabel on Saffold. And then Keith Carter, you know, they had assistance yesterday talking about Dylan Radin's maybe kind of getting ready to go. I could see Dylan Radin's even potentially starting at left guard Monday. I think that's a possibility. So things are changing up front.
Things are changing up front. And, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, the first thing I thought of yesterday after Ty Sobrilo retired was Dylan Radin's. Like, all right, now does this change his outlook at tackle? Is it at guard still? Like, what does this mean for Dylan Radin's moving forward? I would assume Monday he's going to be active at this point, which is good. But could actually see him on the field as well.
Right, and you're right. I mean, this could also mean, okay, maybe they need to focus on him more at tackle. But again, they do have Kendall Lamb still, so they still have a swing tackle who has played in this league. I mean, he's got some experience. I thought that, you know, he struggled at times in the preseason, but he could go in there. And that's the thing. With Saffold ailing, they went to Corey Levin, but they kind of explained that too, that, you know, it's just in that moment he was more ready, but if they try to get Radin's ready at a particular spot, he could be in there. So I think we're about to probably see him. Now, obviously, the ideal situation for the Titans is that Roger Saffold, like, feels good this week and he can play a whole game, but it just seems like he's toughing it out when maybe you should shut it down. The problem with the shoulder is, you can shut it down too. Is it something that's going to need surgery after the season? I mean, if there's a labrum situation there, you know, you could shut it down for 3 weeks and it still might come right back after the first hard hit in the fourth game from now. So it's a dicey situation. But it makes sense, I think, to maybe try to give him a little time, because it seems like every game it's inevitable that he is going to be hunched over feeling that shoulder.
Yep, totally makes sense on that front. And, you know, the conversation for the past few weeks have been, well, the Titans have gotten basically zero out of their first-round pick in Caleb Farley and their second-round pick in Dylan Radin's. And now with Christian Fulton being out as well, you could be in a situation for the next little bit here where Caleb Farley's going to have to play a lot and maybe Dylan Radin's is going to have to get in there as well. So that just goes to show you how quickly the conversation can change in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, and this team in particular, I mean, if you're a three on this team, head on a swivel, because you're probably going to be needed at some point. I mean, it's been pretty amazing on that front. And yeah, today we'll learn about Fulton and, you know, Saffold. I mean, I would expect like a Saffold, no matter what, to be like not participating today. You know, the big question today is Julio Jones.
Yep.
Will he be on the practice field? But Fulton is, boy, do they need Fulton for this game. And I just, based on how he walked off the field Sunday, I don't like his chances. So do you feel better? Can you go through a week and get Farley ready and feel better about him? I still kind of think it would be a little bit of an upset for him to get the nod over Breon Borders.
Yep, but I think either way, he's probably going to play a lot out there as well. So it's one of those things where, you know, he may not be totally ready, but he's about to get ready against this Buffalo team, because they're going to need all hands on deck on that front. Like you said, big day to see for Julio Jones. And I guess I would expect, after what we saw last week, I'd expect Bud Dupree to be out there today practicing, just based on the way last week went. I mean, I guess I'd probably be a little surprised if he's not at this point.
I would agree. I mean, you practice all week, and I get it. You practice all week, you're feeling good enough to practice. Okay, no, not quite ready. But if he weren't out there today, then that would be confusing.
Yeah.
That would, to me, kind of suggest a setback.
Yeah.
Now he can, again, practice all week this week and maybe not be out there. But
Just please don't give me another Adoree Jackson situation from last year. I can't do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's true. That was a weird one, though.
That was
very weird. I mean, Bud Dupree has been very open, you know. We know what his injury is specifically, unlike Adoree.
Yeah.
And he's actually talked to us about it and said he pushed himself. Now, knowing him, just a little amount of time here, I can't imagine that he's even considering not playing Monday Night Football against the Bills, right?
Yep.
But this is also where the training staff sometimes has to step in. But it seems like if he's able to go a full week last week, he's got to be pretty close.
You would think so. And this would be a pretty big one. And like I said yesterday, maybe the extra day helps with some of these guys getting ready for Monday Night Football, and we'll see what happens on that front from an injury standpoint. Speaking of injuries, they've affected pretty much every part of this team so far, offensively, defensively, special teams. And they got some reinforcements yesterday as well, including an old friend coming back into town. We'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Support Stars this Saturday by running, walking, or boogieing in the Nashville Striders' 21st annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, or show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, interesting piece from our friend Buck Rising of A to Z Sports, kind of detailing Ty Sambrylo's retirement that we discussed in the last segment, and just kind of going through this piece right now that Buck has just come out with, basically saying that Sambrylo had grown tired of the Titans, and lots of interesting stuff here in this piece by Buck that led to maybe some frustration from Sambrylo's part. With the coaching staff, with his role on the Titans, and with having to come in and bail LaJuan out when he got hurt in week two in Seattle. Apparently, some irreconcilable differences in injuries causing Sambrylo to think that he was better off with the Titans, or better off without the Titans. This coming from Buck Rising from A to Z Sports.
Yeah, a couple key points here. One, the line, grew tired of being on call constantly before he felt he was ready to play. So, again, that's one of those. It's like with Bud Dupree. Okay, did anybody save him from, you know, from coming out too early or playing too much too early? I mean, in this case, it sounds like, you know, Sambrylo felt like he, you know, was being pushed to play. And, of course, that you get a LaJuan situation like happened earlier in the year. Remember, Sambrylo did not play a ton in the preseason. I mean, yep. He was still very much coming back, and he talked once or twice during the preseason about, you know, trying to get back in there, and they were taking it slow. But then, boom, you get to the season. What are you going to do? So it sounds like he wasn't happy with that. And then the other thing about this that stands out is the line. Again, this is from the A to Z Sports story by Buck Rising. Offensive line coach Keith Carter, who many of the players have grown tired of over the course of his time on Tennessee's coaching staff, had the same effect on Sambrylo, end quote. So, before that, actually, it said a more reserved personality. Sambrylo never really felt at ease in his position group's room. Of course, that's always interesting to me because, yes, Keith Carter is a super hyped up, like, intense guy. LaJuan talked about it in a very extensive quote this preseason about how it's gotten better. It was obvious, and this is, I think, especially when Carter was under fire, you know, and they were playing poorly. Like, at practice, there were times, like, LaJuan was almost, like, openly, like, just, I mean, it was just openly, yeah, whatever, man.
So, yeah.
You know, like, it was clear he did not like. And you're talking about a massive change. I would still say a positive change, but a massive change in personality from Russ Grimm to Keith Carter.
Yeah.
I think I'd say Russ Grimm may have trended a little bit too much on the laid back side, you know, but Keith Carter, very intense. So that's interesting that, you know, obviously, and, you know, Buck has good sources, that this is a situation where, one, a little bit not liking the position coach slash room, and then feeling like he was rushed too much back from injury. I guess I'd still look at his entire thing and say, if you're retiring from the NFL right now because of this, then it's still probably more that you're worried about your body, right?
I would think so. Although,
I guess we'll see if he tries to come back.
I guess so. I mean, we'll see what happens on that front. But I mean, the trying to come back from injury and maybe being strongly encouraged to play coming back from injury before he felt like was ready. Again, I don't know whether or not that's true, but if that is true, I mean, that's kind of concerning. I mean, I kind of go back to Bud Dupree when you think about that as well. So my advice, if that is true for the Titans, would be, why don't you make sure your players are healthy when you put them back out there?
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because look, I mean, you do have Kendall Lamb, and you're probably better off with an 8, based on what I've seen, probably better off with like an 80% Sombrello than 100% Kendall Lamb. But I mean, this is a big loss for the Titans. So
yeah,
here's a consequence, and a consequence in which someone felt comfortable also explaining this situation and criticizing Keith Carter publicly.
Yep.
And criticizing the Titans for rushing a player back too early. So it's pretty clear that there's some displeasure here on the part of the player.
Yeah.
You just lost some key depth at a place where, well, you can't really afford it anywhere, but certainly a place where that's been banged up, hasn't performed well, and you're still trying to find the right combination.
Yep, good job by Buck Rising from A to Z Sports reporting this, and that just came out at A to Z Sports. So really interesting stuff on Tyson Brilo there. Joe Rexroad, there is a former Titan that apparently is coming back home. Avery Williamson signed by the Titans yesterday, and it looks like he's going to be all set to return here to Nashville. And look, with Jayon Brown on IR and how Sean Evans played on Sunday, Avery Williamson could see some playing time pretty early, I think. And, you know, it kind of feels like Avery Williamson has been around forever. He's only 29. I guess that kind of took me by surprise yesterday that he was only 29 years old. I thought he would have been in his 30s at this point. But
yeah.
I think he was at Denver for 1 week with the Broncos, and now he is back here with the Titans. And who knows, very well could see some playing time coming up on Monday.
It's possible. And you know, Avery Williamson was a good player here, and it was just one of those situations where it's like, it's not good enough to pay the second deal. Let someone else pay that, which the Jets did.
Yeah.
But pretty good player. And I've seen some people say, well, he knows the defense. Well, no, he wasn't in this defense. 17 was his last year, so it's a different defense, but I mean, he'll, you know, he's a veteran.
Go tackle the ball carrier.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, going the right gap. And, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, would he come in right away? I mean, I would not think that he would come in right away and, like, start over Rashawn Evans.
He's 55 snaps.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to happen. But that, I think this is a sign possibly, of not being happy with Rashawn Evans. But it also is, let's remember, Monty Rice is now banged up. Don't know how seriously, but he's banged up. He had to leave the last game. Actually, Evans also is a little bit banged up. And obviously, Jayon Brown's on IR. So it could just, you know, be more of a depth add than anything. But I would say that if Rashawn Evans doesn't start playing better and Jayon Brown isn't back, then who knows? Long Williamson is your starting linebacker. Who had that starting inside linebackers?
I don't think very many people.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not John Robinson. Would be my guess.
A lot of reunions.
Yeah. There are a lot of reunions going on out there.
It's a good thing for them that, like, Michael Pruitt reunion happened.
Yeah.
When they tried all they could not to sign him.
Still no Kenny Vaccaro reunion.
Yeah.
That one's trotting out Dane Cruikshank. It's going well.
He's still unsigned, right?
Yeah.
No Vaccaro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess he's done.
Would he have been better last couple games than Cruikshank? I would say yes.
I would say probably so.
Guys, fun fact about Avery. We graduated together. He sat two rows in front of me.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
A minute. Oh, okay. No, he came back. I was going to say, like, are you way older than you've been telling us, Michelle?
I've been lying, guys, the whole time. No, he came back and, like, took classes at UK.
How about that?
And graduated. Cool. Well,
yeah, good for him. That's awesome. Lotta?
A lot of Catterday.
A lot of UK. I know. A lot of UK football swirling around.
Turning into a powerhouse. Just Kentucky football everywhere. Look, I will say this about Avery Williamson. And, look, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I've not watched a ton of Avery Williamson since he left the Titans because, quite frankly, he went to the Jets. And watching New York Jets football voluntarily is really an assault to my eyes. So I haven't done much of that the last couple of years. But I do remember his time with the Titans. Pretty good run defender. Pretty good guy that you could count on to stop the run. So, you know, we'll see if that's still something that is a big part of his game. You know, I don't know that pass coverage was really ever a strength of his, but certainly a good run defender.
Yeah, I mean, he's a player in the mold of Rashawn Evans.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, not as physically talented. I'd say probably a little more reliable when he was here. And I'm with you. I haven't watched a ton of Avery Williamson ball since then. But I'm with you on that. I was a little surprised to see he was only 29.
Yeah.
I would have guessed like 32. Well, 29, young.
This goes to show. Still a young man out there. He can be flying around.
Yep. So that's a good depth add. Good depth add there. A big depth loss with Tyson Brallo. Now I'm trying to figure out, I was going to go to the Preds today. Do I still go to the Preds today instead of the Titans today? You know, they're making these tough choices in this town.
There are tough choices. This is the time of year where you got to make them too.
Because it's an interesting, I mean, the entire thing, if a player is willing, well, I shouldn't say if a player, I don't know. I don't know who the source is for Buck Rising. But if someone in the know is willing to talk about on the record about this, about a coach and about a team pushing players, I mean, that's something you got to – that's problematic in your organization.
Well, I'm sure Vrabel will be willing to extensively cover this today at the press conference. You can ask him that, and then he'll tell you exactly how many snaps Dylan Radins is going to play and Avery Williamson coming in too. It could really be a productive day out at St. Thomas Sports Park.
Well, look, he's not going to – he won't talk about individuals, but this is a bigger picture question.
Oh, yeah.
What's the process? Actually – got asked something like that the other day. Didn't say a ton on it, but I mean, it's a totally fair question. Again, if you lose a player because of this, and then there's an immediate, I guess, willingness or even really impulse to talk about it, you got to look within.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's something, too. I mean, as you brought up earlier in the segment, it's now cost you a player. If this is, let's say this is one of the driving forces that Tyson Brallo is not playing anymore, it's now cost you a player at a key spot where, quite frankly, I mean, you need depth. I mean, Taylor Lewan has been kind of in and out this year. Kendall Lamb, we've seen what that's looked like so far. It's not great. And look, now, without Simbrilo, you're one injury away, whether it's Lewan or Questenberry, to having to throw in Kendall Lamb, and then what kind of a depth do you have there? Not much.
Right.
I guess Dylan Radins could be playing some tackle.
Well, I mean, Radins is a swing everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've been playing poorly overall. I think they got better. I think they got better against Jacksonville. But one thing they did have is at least you have multiple kind of like twos, you know, at tackle, that you could at least move people around. I mean, I thought Sombrilo did a really good job before he got hurt in the Baltimore game last year. And then Questenberry did a surprisingly good job after that. But, no, that's a significant loss. I mean, this early in a season, based on what I've seen, you know, Kendall Lamb, it's not a great option if you have to go there.
Tyler from Berry Hill texting into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Any word on when Hooker might be set to return? Dane Cruikshank can't play dead in a Western. I like that line. I've not heard that one.
That's been a while.
That's good.
That's like a line out of the 70s. Well, he was on the field last week, so that's a good sign. Now, does that mean that he's going to be actually designated to return and play this week? I don't know, but if it follows the Marcus Johnson path, it's possible the Titans can get Imani Hooker and Darrington Evans back this week. Both could be big. I would agree. Hooker would be bigger.
Oh, yeah.
That's, he's, he looked good as the other guy next to Byard, and there's a drop-off after him.
Pretty big drop-off. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday as Nashville SC takes on DC United. The pregame starts at 6:15, and the match begins at 6:30. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Plus, what will it take for Derrick Henry to have a legitimate chance to win the NFL MVP award? We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Like, I mean, as much as it, I mean, it seems like it would be impossible. And I think, too, I know there was a stat this weekend in the game about Derrick Henry and was it consecutive 1,500-yard seasons that he's got a chance to hit. Is that accurate?
Well, there's a long list. Three straight long seasons. List of superlatives.
Yeah, I mean, he could join.
And so, well, think about this. The third guy I mentioned was Tom Brady. And so it's like, truthfully, like that's just Brady fatigue because he's been really good. You know, and his numbers are really, really good. And so, you know, if Derrick Henry has another season of 1,500 yards and he's running the ball great, like, it's like everyone just kind of gets used to it. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's already done that, right? And so I do think there is just, like, this natural fatigue that you get. And, you know, like, if Derrick Henry rushes for 1,900 yards and has, 12 touchdowns, but Kyler Murray, like, continues at his pace, or Josh Allen, you know, keeps throwing it, you know, 40-plus times a game and playing great and running the football, like, Josh Allen's going to win it.
That was Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN on yesterday with Darren Donick and Chase discussing Derrick Henry and the NFL MVP award. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. So Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, Joe, using the term, it's a quarterback award, and it would be maybe impossible for Derrick Henry to win the NFL MVP award, which I think it certainly feels that way sometimes to some Titans fans, despite what Henry does on a week-in and week-out basis. You've already said this week that Derrick Henry belongs, albeit very early into the NFL season, into the conversation for NFL MVP based on what he has done thus far. But as you heard from Hasselbeck, the quarterbacks are always going to be the ones that get the first look. So I ask you, what does Derrick Henry have to do this year? What do maybe the team have to do this year in order for him to be in legitimate consideration to not be just, you know, a name that gets talked about, but to actually win the NFL MVP award? Is there anything that Derrick Henry can do to be in consideration to actually win the award?
Yeah, but I think you, even before you go to what he needs to do or what the team needs to do, you do need to go to you need a year where there's not some obvious quarterback with a great team having an incredible year, because then, like, it's just not going to happen. So, yep. I mean, right now, the door is open on Mahomes. You know, if they're going to kind of have a wobbly year, he's turned it over quite a bit. But, of course, Josh Allen steps in and looks great. And Kyler Murray, to me, would probably be number one by a smidge over Josh Allen right now. Lamar Jackson, those three, right at this moment.
Yep, and then there's Brady.
That's true. You always have Brady. I mean, you always have Brady. You always have Rodgers. So I think you need one of those years where there's a lot of quarterbacks who – you're going to have quarterbacks with great numbers who quarterback really good teams. You're not going to, like, you know, you're not going to have all the top quarterbacks in the league stink together, right? But you need maybe a year where no one is extremely good, where it kind of opens the door. Then you need to probably win as a team at least 11, 12 games. And he needs to have an extraordinary year, but it's also situational. So I look at, I mean, let's see, the next three of the next four games are games that the NFL is going to be looking at.
Yep.
They're on Monday Night Football against the Bills. Everybody thinks they're the top team. There's one of the top MVP candidates. Okay, well, if Derrick Henry steals the show from Josh Allen and the Titans win, and he has a monster night, he just helped himself a ton. At the Rams, Monday Night Football, again, national broadcast, big, a team that's believed to be a contender, just like the Bills, one of the top. I think I've ranked them. Did I rank them two? I mean, no, three after the Cardinals. Bills, Cardinals, Rams is how I had it right this week in our little athletic thing. So that's a big game, big moment, same thing. I mean, last year we were talking MVP stuff with him, and they go to Green Bay, and Green Bay did a great job. The Titans stunk all the way around in that game.
Yep.
Didn't help anyone on stuff like this. And then, you know, the Colts game is the Colts game, but the other one, obviously, anytime the Chiefs play, people pay attention. So, I mean, that's a game I could see him having a good day, but the way that defense is playing. So, it is as bad, as rough as the stretch is for the team. If they have some success and he has a lot of success, okay, he's going to get more into the discussion, at least, at that point. Now, if he gets, like, 2,000 yards again back-to-back, do you sometimes have, like, a two-year, like, how does this guy not win one MVP out of those 2 years? I mean, that I think that will go through the mind of some voters.
Well, that's why I bring this up, because, I mean, right now, I think it's pretty likely he's going to get 2,000 yards. Like, you never know with these type things, but, I mean, just with the pace he's on right now, and he doesn't look like he's slowing down, I mean, it looks like he could get 2,000 yards again. So, you know, it's an NFL MVP award for a singular season, and I get that. But, you know, I think Tim is right from the standpoint of, like, you know, this is humans voting on this award, and sometimes those things, either consciously or subconsciously, they factor in to this stuff. And, you know, let's say, because I don't think this is a crazy, let's say he breaks the all-time rushing record this year. You know, is it likely? Probably not. Is it within the realm of possibility for him? Yeah. Let's say he breaks the all-time rushing record this year. Does he not have to win MVP if the Titans are, you know, division winners and he's broken the all-time rushing record? Like, you would think that'd be enough to put him in the conversation, I would hope.
Well, he'd have to be right in there. But so what if Kyler Murray or one of those other three guys I mentioned continues to have a ridiculous season and that team goes like 14-3?
Yeah.
He probably still won't win it. I don't know. I mean, I think he would certainly be on the short list and he'd have a chance. But I still think you need the non-exceptional quarterback season. You know, you need that to not exist. I mean, it has been. It's a quarterback award. And I'm going back, you know, over the last, whatever, 14 years, one time a non-quarterback, and that was Adrian Peterson in 2012 with the Vikings. That was his 2,000-yard season, right? I think that's right. Yeah. And before that, you had LT, LaDainian Tomlinson in 06. Actually, you had back-to-back Tomlinson and Sean Alexander 05 and 06, but that was also a different time in the, you know, early 2000s. So, yeah, I think that number would be, gosh, like, how do you deny a guy who has that number? But I think more than ever in this league, it's just everybody looks at the quarterbacks. Another thing, though, that does help him, which is, I think, a source of frustration around here, is that Tannehill is disrespected. I mean, in the minds of, I think, a lot of people around the league, if they have a really good year and then he has those ridiculous numbers, you know, I think the fact that people, I mean, I just did a Bills podcast yesterday, and, you know, it was a good conversation, but this guy's like, well, you know, and then there's Tannehill, you know, very average game manager guy, so how are the, and I'm like, no, that's not true, but anyway, can't carry on, you know, but that's hey, that's the perception, and it's dumb, but in this discussion, it probably helps him a little bit, because if they have a good year, then that's what everyone's going to look at, like, oh, it's all because of Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry is averaging 128 per game right now. He is on pace to end up with 2176.
Yeah.
That is the all-time rushing record, 2176. I think the record itself is 2105 at the moment.
And Eric Dickerson will point out.
He will.
If he had 16 games, he would not have beat my record.
He will.
If he stays in that exact pace. So I still contend it's better for all parties if there's a couple 48-yard games and he doesn't come close and they aren't – and that's not part of, like, the mindset late in the year. But right now, like you said, he's on that pace. And typically as things go, he's usually a slower starter, and then it gets easier and as the season goes on, because defenses continue to and even increasingly hate tackling him. So who knows where this is going.
Yep. And, you know, wouldn't hurt to have some big games coming up against Buffalo and the Rams, as you pointed out as well. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Lots of your thoughts to get to in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What does Derrick Henry have to do to have a legitimate chance to win the NFL MVP award? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans and Derrick Henry. What does Derrick Henry have to do this year to have a legitimate chance to win the MVP award? Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got a texter that says, Henry plays for the Titans, who are also overlooked by the mainstream sports world. Ron texting in saying, let's be honest, Henry would be the MVP on at least 20 of the teams in the NFL, and he's definitely the most valuable player on our team. I think he will win it this year. So Ron thinks he's going to win, and you got a texter that thinks Henry plays for the Titans, the most overlooked team in the sports world.
Okay, so let's go so back through teams of recent MVP winners. Tell me if they are media darlings in the NFL or not. Green Bay Packers?
Kind of.
Baltimore Ravens?
Not really.
Kansas City Chiefs?
They are now.
Now, because why, though? Because
of him.
Because of him. Patriots, yes. Falcons?
Nope.
Carolina Panthers?
Nope.
Broncos?
At the time, yeah.
Vikings?
Nope.
You know, I mean, it's I mean, look, even like the Indianapolis Colts are not some, you know, like some franchise that people are like, oh, my goodness, huge media market. Oh, no, because Peyton Manning was there.
Right.
Great players transcend this market stuff. It actually pisses me off. Now I'm getting visions of this Hall of Fame thing with Delanie Walker where it's like, dude, if your career is good enough, you'll win the MVP, you'll go to the Hall of Fame. People don't just say, well, what market? Oh, well, you know, they don't play for the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, let's see. Let me go through this list of MVP winners. When's the last time a Dallas Cowboy won this award? Hey, look, there's three straight St. Louis Rams. There's a huge media. Everybody just, oh, St. Louis. Three straight. Say, let me keep. Oh, there's a Detroit Lion. Why? Because it was Barry freaking Sanders. Okay? It's. The players,
they kind of are media
great
darlings.
Players transcend, yeah, that's true, in a way. They transcend this stuff. I mean, again, I mean, Steve McNair also, by the way, won MVP in this town. 18 years ago, when this town was very different than it is now. Right?
That is true.
I mean, come on, people. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on this one text, but it kind of opens up that larger discussion.
Sure.
Where people get so obsessed with market and everything, it's like, dude, it's the NFL. If you're in this league and you're great, they'll find you.
By the way, we brought up the MVP candidates earlier with all the quarterbacks, and I agree. Like it's right now, it's probably Kyler Murray and Josh Allen, and we didn't say Dak Prescott, didn't say Justin Herbert. I mean, there's a whole lot of a lot of quarterbacks in the conversation right now.
Which, by the way, so that's Bills, that's Cardinals, that's Ravens, that's Chargers. Now
it
that's the
Cowboys.
So it must be the Cowboys. Couldn't be that Dax, you know, has the best numbers in the league or anything. It's the Cowboys. Now, I understand when we talk about if you are someone who, you know, watches like the ESPN argument shows.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you listen to national radio, yes, I agree. Cowboys, Steelers, Patriots, whatever. Like
every day on Get Up, the first thing they always talk about is Aaron Rodgers. It's amazing.
Right.
Always Aaron Rodgers.
So I understand from a fan perspective, as you consume this stuff, it gets overwhelming and annoying, and you feel like your team isn't talked about. But, again, MVP voters actually look at things. You know, they actually investigate. Hall of Fame voters sit there for, like, 2 days and scream at each other about every little aspect of, like, an offensive guard who's up for the – it's just – come on.
Hey, Derrick Henry, if you played for the Cowboys –
right.
You get it in
MVP
there.
Every year, even though they haven't had one since 1993. But MVP every year to play for the Cowboys.
I do wonder, like, it's difficult for me to believe, sitting here today, that Derrick Henry has a legitimate chance to win this award. It just is. Because, number one, of the position he plays. Number two, I mean, the Titans right now, they're looking like they're going to be like a 9-8, 10-7 type team if they don't pick things up moving forward here.
Yeah.
And you're not winning an MVP award if your team's not one of the elite teams.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Well, I would agree. So, but that does bring up a good question. So what was like Minnesota in 2012? Like, I don't remember the Vikings.
I don't know.
They seem like a kind of a nondescript team, you know, in 2012. Okay. So they went 10-6. They were a wild card. They were second to the Packers. They were good. They weren't anything special.
I would like to
take. He was special.
He was special, but I would also that year, I'd like to just take a look at the quarterbacks and what they did.
Yeah.
Or maybe what they didn't do.
Right, because I think that was probably part of the formula. But it, you know, I mean, 2,000 yards is.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean,
it only happened a few times.
Actually, remind me where Derek ended up last year in the voting. He definitely got some votes.
He did. I can't remember exactly where he was because most of them, it was either going to Rodgers or Mahomes. I don't know if he was third or if he was fourth.
Yeah, it's, you know, and the thing is, it's also like you've just got quarterbacks doing outrageous stuff. They're blowing records apart left and right. Some of that is just how the game has gone. So I think it's harder now, too, just because those numbers are just so ridiculous. And the league has just become, obviously, the rules favor the offense. The numbers are ridiculous. It's a passing league. It makes it harder for any non-quarterback.
He did not get any votes last year.
Did not get any votes.
It was Rodgers with 44, Allen with 4, Mahomes with 2. So he did not get a vote last year.
Okay. I'm obviously misremembering that. I thought he got some kind of a – there was some sort of a whatever player.
Didn't
of the
he
year
get vote. AFC Offensive Player of the Year or something?
Yeah.
I think that's what he was.
Here's a nice consolation prize for you. Back then you had Brady was second, Peyton was third when Peterson won it. And, they're obviously always great, but I don't remember – that year being like outrageously good for either of those guys, and
right.
There was no one else. Look, there's a new crop of quarterbacks now, you know, who are making it tough. Josh Allen, Kyler Murray is. You know, there's just a lot of guys, young quarterbacks right now, who are just playing out of their minds.
Well, even in the other part of it is even from 2012, the league is different now.
Yes.
I mean, it was transitioning that way back in 2012, but it's still more of a passing league now than it was back then. So that makes it your job harder as a running back. Quite frankly, that makes what Derrick Henry is doing all the more unbelievable. But it's just another obstacle he's got to overcome at that point.
Does, but if you want to be a detractor too, you know, you could look at it and say, well, because of the league is like this and the defenses are built to respond to this, they are not as prepared for a Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But to me, that shouldn't count against them.
Ramal on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If Derek blows out all the other running backs like he is right now, he'll have a chance. He's got to kill the numbers versus other running backs in the league, though, like really crush it. I think he will, though. I mean, he has already been doing that, though, right?
Yeah, he's been doing that. I mean, that's like Chubb is still kind of close, but, yeah, I'd expect that to happen. Again, if he doesn't get hurt and if they continue to play the way they've been playing, I still think there's a time where they could be a more balanced team. With the entire passing offense figured out, but I think it's more about outrageous numbers, very good bottom line for the team, having huge games and big games coming right up here. Really, these are the games. I mean, these two, especially those two national games, you know, huge games there. So all the people who don't normally watch you, who vote, see that, and then also just not having one of those quarterbacks just have. Like a career year for a great season for the team. So that's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things that have
There's
to
a
happen.
Lot of the things.
So we've determined in this conversation that it's not impossible for Derrick Henry to win the MVP award. It is highly, highly, highly unlikely, even if he breaks the NFL all-time rushing record.
If he breaks the all-time NFL rushing record, I would not put three highlies on it. I won't put three highlies.
Just one highly?
I don't even know if I'd put highly. I'd still put unlikely. Pretty unlikely. If he breaks the all-time record, I think
he's got to be in. He's at least getting votes, I would hope.
There are some voters who are going to say, how could you not do it? And again, you shouldn't do it this way, but there are people who think this way. And frankly, at times, I'm okay with it. Then you say, he just did that, and he had 2,000 last year. No one's ever come close to that.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes people get MVPs or whatever because of, like, career achievement stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's like a two-year, like, how could he possibly not walk away with an MVP if that happens? Yeah.
Be pretty incredible if that's the case.
If it goes on this pace, I think but again, the conversation really picks up if he puts 160 on the Bills and they beat him, or Rams and they beat him, right? That's an accelerator.
Wouldn't hurt for a couple other stiff arms as well. Haven't seen many of those yet, so.
That doesn't hurt either. And we're still, I've seen the Josh Norman thing 10 times this week already.
That's right. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee, looking ahead to the game coming up this weekend against South Carolina. We'll do that coming up next. Hockey season in full swing, and there's no better place to bet on the NHL than FanDuel Sportsbook. NHL parlays are the perfect way to make every shot feel like a hat trick, and you can turn a little bet into a big payday. And all season long, FanDuel giving every customer NHL parlay insurance. You get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short. The Preds in action tomorrow against the Kraken. Give me the Preds money line. Give me Philip Forsberg on the goal sheet as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. And if you don't have a FanDuel account, sign up now using promo code ROB to place your bet risk-free up to $1,000. FanDuel is always hooking you up with great odds and exclusive offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. So this season, just make every moment matter more and bet on the NHL with FanDuel Sportsbook. And remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Parlay insurance, max refund of $25 per day. Risk-free bet from first online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days for parlay insurance and 14 days for risk-free bet. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.